We'll be back on May 17th at 9 a.m. And there it is. Thanks, Tammy.
Oh, I marched to the Battle of New Orleans at the end of the early British Wars. The young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't a marching anymore.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Bridges is a restaurant and catering company that's open daily. More information available at bridgescafeandcatering.net. Lunch was provided by Boki Bowl, with two locations at 1028 Southeast Water Avenue and 1200 Northwest 18th at Northrop. Boki Bowl serves ramen with handmade noodles, unique slow simmer dashi, and more. Dinner was provided by Lardo, with two Portland locations at 1212 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard and 1205 Southwest Washington Street, as well as a Las Vegas location at 3708 South Las Vegas Boulevard. Lardo serves deli-style sandwiches as well as craft beers and cocktails every day from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. or later. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
Tune in to KBOO on Wednesday, April 24th at 6 p.m. for The Underground, hosted by the KBOO Youth Collective. Our theme this month is apocalypse.
We'll have stories about personal apocalypse, tragic environmental accidents, radio plays, and other interpretations of the apocalypse.
Again, that's The Underground, Wednesday, April 24th at 6 p.m. here on our community radio station, KBOO Portland.
And this is KBOO Portland, as they said. And it's a little after 10 a.m., which means it's time for film at 11, because that's how it is. Stay tuned at 11 for Between the Covers with David Naiman talking to Lacey M. Johnson about their latest book, Reckonings. You know that this is all possible because people just like you have gotten involved in the manner and to the extent that makes sense for them. One of them I'm going to tell you about right now. I'm going to remind you, in the course of reminding you, that KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners, that's you, and support from Dark Side Cinema, open every night, featuring independent, foreign, and art house films. The Dark Side is located at 215 Southwest 4th Street between Madison and Jefferson Avenues in Corvallis, Oregon. More information and showtimes available online at darksidecinema.com.
Hi, this is Film at 11, and I've got a special guest here today, and my co-host is Mona.
Hi there.
And the best special guest is Becky Olson.
She's very special.
Yes, and of course, KBOO is our host for the show, and this show is a weekly panel of people discussing movies that range from the art house to the suburban sprawl.
And sometimes TV.
And TV. And just a little bit of time to discuss some movies that are around town. The Clinton Street Theater is showing Children, A City of Lost Children, You've seen that one, have you not, there, Becky?
Yes, yeah,
of course. The Blow Up and Q, the Larry Cohen movie, are at the Hollywood. Do you have some thoughts? I see from you that
is
you've got some
Q
thoughts.
The
Winged.
That movie was bad when it came out. It's hilarious.
Yeah, a crazy performance.
Very kitschy.
Crazy performance by Michael Moriarty.
Yeah,
who
insane.
Later
absolutely
went on to be
insane.
On
Law and Order.
And Blow Up is, of course, the masterpiece by Michelangelo Antonioni. It's always good to see these things on the big screen. Meanwhile, the Fifth Avenue Cinema is showing Nightmare Alley with Tyrone Power from the 40s. It's going to be remade by Guillermo del Toro. So that's coming, possibly, you know, one says
an
these
interesting
things.
Choice for him.
Yeah, well, we'll see, but if it ever really materializes. But it's a very dark view of the underside of American society.
Yeah, I don't know what I can add to that, but I don't actually think it's that weird a choice for Del Toro, because he's, there are like creepy clown monster type things in that movie, if I remember right.
And If Beale Street Could Talk is just on DVD. It came out on DVD a couple of weeks ago, so people should take the opportunity to look up that and try finding the book. Apparently, it's been checked out of the libraries. No one can. You're going to have to go buy it, apparently, or try to get a digital version of it. So, and, oops, deaths. I wish we could get a death toll, but I'll plan for that later. Next
of
time.
Fabulous people we've lost this year so far?
Well, in the last 2 weeks, it's included Seymour Cassell, who is famous for being in various comedies, but also in John Cassavetes' Faces.
Well, and apparently just an absolute mensch all around.
A great guy. He was also shot a film in Portland, or a pilot for a TV show. And Charles Van Doren. Now, if you don't know who that is, he's a scion of the fabled academic family, the Van Dorens.
$64,000 question.
Exactly.
I was about to say, a quiz show, right?
Yeah, and you just won the quiz.
Thank
by
you.
Knowing that answer.
What do I win?
So he just ended up working, after that scandal, he ended up working for Encyclopedia Britannica in Chicago.
Well, they really did him dirty.
Yeah. So. I love the movie, Quiz Show. It's one of my all-time favorites.
It's fabulous.
I think it's the one Robert Redford movie that I can get behind, the one where he's a director.
Mm.
You know, he also did Ordinary People and A River Runs Through It and others, but this is the one I think is the one that lasts. And then finally, Bibi Andersson, the Swedish actress who appeared in numerous Ingmar Bergman movies, most significantly in Persona. The two-hander with Liv Ullmann. So this is all very sad. That's kind of a sad way to start. Maybe I should save these for the end of the program. I don't know. But in any case, there's that. Now, zipping around the world of cinema, we're going to concentrate on a couple of things. Naturally, they're horror topics. But one is Black Summer, the new Netflix show.
Yeah, so speaking of things that are not actually movies, Black Summer just came out on Netflix, and I don't know why it caught my eye, but I thought, well, let me just check this thing out, and I ended up being so completely engrossed, I was kind of shocked. I binge-watched all 8 episodes, so it's not that huge of a commitment, unlike a Game of Thrones marathon or something like that. The biggest star in it is Jamie King, who is, she's real cute. You've seen her face. She's kind of an adorable blonde. I saw her once in New York many years ago wearing the cutest outfit, and we smiled at each other. But anyway, there'll be familiar faces if you have ever watched television, but most of them are not super famous people. It's absolutely not a vehicle for one famous person, and it's at the very... These things, I don't know why they catch me, because I know how ridiculous they are, but this starts at the absolute beginnings of a zombie outbreak, a zombie apocalypse. So the first, it is just past the initial stages, and people are trying to get to a stadium where they're going to be relocated by the military to a safe area, because they've already lost a whole bunch of cities. And it kind of looks like Any Town USA. I know they mentioned the town, but for the life of me, I can't remember. And it has many, many intersecting stories. And the first episode, I'm not quite sure how it's all going to come together. And then after that, it was this incredible puzzle where you meet a character, they go on and do something else, they meet up with another character, and then they're off doing something, and you see a scene from their point of view. Next episode, you come back around and you see it from the people who are actually in what they're observing. Mm. And then eventually, most of the people come together just by coincidence or fate. And
does the story end, or is it going to be another season of it?
It has a satisfying ending, but it clearly isn't an ending.
Okay.
But there is resolution.
All right.
I will say, though, I want to warn anybody, do not... This is a show that loves to kill its darlings. Do not become very attached to almost anybody. Trust me. But it was really good. I was so surprised by how engrossing it was. It's an offshoot of another show called Z Nation.
Oh.
Which I did try. So this is kind of the beginning. Z Nation is a series that starts in the middle of a zombie outbreak that has been going on for quite a while. And this is the beginnings of all of that. And I couldn't really get into Z Nation. I was surprised by how much this grabbed me. Hmm. So anyway.
Well, so the distinguishing characteristic that will compel us to watch it is the intersecting stories of structure.
The structure was fantastic. I was impressed.
There's a lot of zombie.
Oh, it is a lot of zombies. Yeah, there is a lot of and they're just patently ridiculous anyway. So I kind of prefer scares that actually could be real. Sorry, don't come at me.
But yeah, I'm not into zombies either. I wish that it had gone a different direction. Wave of...
Of course, my pet peeve is they're not really zombies.
Yeah.
A zombie is a specific thing,
right,
indigenous to Haitian culture.
Mm-hmm.
These are,
average Americans.
Walking... Well, they're ghoul. They're running dead. In the main movie that started this whole thing, Night of the Living Dead, they're called ghouls.
Right.
The word zombie does not appear anywhere in the movie, or maybe even in any of the subsequent ones. I don't remember. But in any case, it does remind me a little bit, listening to it, of the Japanese movie One Shot of the Dead. Are you guys familiar with that one?
No.
It's a really good movie, although you have to get through its first 10 or 20 minutes to appreciate it, because it looks like a bad straight-to-video Japanese movie at first, but then it turns into something else 20 minutes in, and then 20 minutes after that into something even different. And it is going to be remade in English in America at some point.
It was
so popular. But go to the original. That's the best route.
And you probably have to read.
I wanted to... Also, Becky is a writer and mostly associated with Lonely Planet books, but she's got a brand new book out, and you've brought a copy of it, and it's going to be part of the giveaway for this pledge hour.
That's right. It's called Walking Portland. It's actually a second edition of a book that I did a few years ago. So it's all updated, but it's little neighborhood walks around Portland in all as many of the neighborhoods as I could cover.
Well, we're gonna hear why it's important to contribute to KBOO at this point of the show, and I just want to remind listeners that there are not all that many community-supported radio stations in America. Mm-hmm. I think Seattle, Portland, New York City, of course, and San Francisco, and maybe a few others in California, but throughout the great nation, there are very few stations that are key to the city that are associated with the national kind of feed. I'm trying to say it without actually saying the station, but Portland is unique, and
yes,
one of the ways it's kept unique is through the contributions of listeners.
Okay, so that's good.
Oh, you get both for
60? Hi, no. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and you can go to kboo.fm and make your donation by hitting that red donate button. And I just wanted to thank you for listening, and we had a lot of wonderful calls for support. And we know you want to be amongst these, so pick up your phone and call us at 877-500-5266 to make your $5 recurring monthly donation.
Oh, a lot of thank yous, Tave.
A lot of them. We've got Chris from Southeast PDX, who's a new supporter. Thank you so much, Chris. Robert from Corvallis increased their monthly contribution. Thank you, Robert. And for a shout-out to the Corvallis listeners. Gordon in Northeast Portland gave online. So that's something to remember. You can go to kboo.fm.
And then we have Tracy. She's in Banks. So a lot of our members are coming from all over Oregon. And Tracy is a new member. Carrie in Lake Oswego, she called with an additional gift to support Marvin's show, Veterans Voice, which you just heard from 9 to 10. Of course, that's on the third Friday of the month, every month here at KBOO. And then Tony in Northeast Portland renewed his membership. Thank you very much, Tony, Carrie, Tracy, Gordon, and then the two
and Chris and Robert as well. And but a huge thank you also to Doug and Mona, our hosts of this show, Film at 11, starting at 10 and ending at 11. It just shows you all of the diverse programming you are getting here, in addition to supporting those of us who volunteer and are learning skills down here, such as how to use audio equipment and to some degree even video equipment.
Yeah, what I love doing the announcing shifts for the pledge drive in the morning, this 9 to 12 shift, because mm-hmm. it always amazes me the diversity of our program. So we had Ani Haynes' show at 8 just before we came on the mic, Positively Revolting, and she does a talk show every Friday. She did that with Lynn Molick, who was our friend who passed away a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, then we had Marvin's show. He's third Friday of the month, Veterans Voices, mm-hmm. and then Film at 11 with Doug and Mona. And then, of course, at 11, we have Between the Covers with David Naiman today, talking to Lacey Johnson about her book, The Reckoning.
And speaking of books, we have some thank you gifts that are books that you might like to pick from as our thank you gift to you when you call us. So for a $5 recurring monthly donation or one-time $60 donation, we have two different books to choose from, as well as any book that you might have heard of earlier that was at that $60 level yearly or less. So one of these books is called Walking Portland, 33 Tours of Stumptown's Funky Neighborhoods, Historic Landmarks, Parks, Trails, Farmers Markets, and Brew Pubs. And the other one is...
The Best Things in Life Are Free, the Ultimate Money-Saving Travel Guide. So traveling and walking in Portland are great things to do when you're not watching movies.
Yeah, and maybe when you are listening to KBOO on your device and walking about. So for one $60 donation or a recurring $5 donation, one of these can be yours as a thank you gift. Call us at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266.
And we really appreciate those recurring donations. You become a sustaining member of KBOO. So instead of, say, a $60 pledge in one lump sum, it's $5 a month. I tell people it's relatively painless, especially if you're not paying attention to your checking account or your credit and debit card account. But still, it's very little to pay each month for the programming you're getting for KBOO. You're also supporting the communities in Portland that are supported, that have voices on KBOO, the theater community, radio theater, the film community, the veterans community, musicians, activists, protesters, political figures. We're all over the place, the most diverse radio station perhaps in the entire country, and that's because of members like you. So please give us a call. It's the second to last day of our spring membership drive. The number is 877-500-5266.
You want to make a difference, and you can do that by calling us here and making your donation. Go to kboo.fm. That's another option for online. We heard some of our earlier listeners did that. So thanks to everybody, and back to you, Doug and Mom.
Okay. Please take those suggestions to heart, and please call. And so our guest is Becky Olson. And tell us a little bit about Becky, Mona.
Well, Becky is a gem of a human being. She is a smart, funny, wise person. And it's been my pleasure to know her over the last number of years.
I'm sitting right here, Mona.
But hey, look, just give me the money after the show, and we'll be okay. But I had no idea that I had one of Becky's books already, because when I first moved to Portland, I found a little book called Walking Portland. I didn't know the city at all, and I bought it, and it turns out my friend Becky Olson wrote it, which I just found out today because I never looked at the author, but I have actually walked some of the walks, and it's a really charming little book. It's lightweight and small. You can take it with you, and it's a way of getting to know the city and outside of the touristy areas, if you want to get off of out of the alphabet, or you want to get off of Division, or... any of the other places, Alberta Arts District, and you want to get in and look at some architecture and see how the people in Portland live and look at some pretty streets and pretty parks and pretty views, it's a fantastic little book. And I've given it as gifts.
And if you call in and make a specific pledge, it's a gift. Now, what's one of your favorite walks? Like the one that near the University of Portland strikes me as being one of the most spectacular looking ones mm-hmm. that one can go on that you write about in the book.
Yeah.
And do you cover Kelly Butte or those East Hills way back there?
A little bit, not so much. It's less of a kind of wilderness walking book than it is
right.
urban
it's
neighborhood.
Urban, yeah.
So my personal favorite is I call it the Bermuda Triangle Walk. It's a walk that goes by a bunch of stuff that's not there anymore, but that I used to love when I first. It's like the old Portland kind of nostalgia walk.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one.
Okay. What neighborhood is it?
That is Kearns, mostly.
Kearns. Mm-hmm. Now, what we're going to talk about while you're here, besides talking about your books, is you are also a rock climber.
Newly, yes.
And newly cool. So we thought it might be fun to discuss the movie Free Solo with you.
Mm-hmm, it just came out on DVD.
It did.
Yeah.
And
it's also on Hulu right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who wants to summarize it? Because I can't remember the man's name. It's Mark...
Alex.
Honnold. Yeah. See, I can't remember his name. Okay, go ahead. Shoot. Tell us what
it's
happens.
It's Alex Honnold. He's the first guy to free solo El Cap in Yosemite, and the significance of that, if you don't climb, you wouldn't necessarily know. It means that you do it without any ropes or safety equipment whatsoever, which is crazy.
Mm. And people die on El Capitan with ropes.
Yeah.
So that's I can't even watch the preview. I can't even watch it. Even talking about it makes me feel nervous.
Yeah, but also one of the people who was shooting the movie couldn't even watch it while he turns away from the camera at one significant point. Among the interesting aspects of this, though, it chronicles his preparation, explores a little bit his background, his relationship with his mother and father.
Apparently the filmmakers were going to do just a sort of profile of him before he even had the idea to do El Cap.
Oh.
Because he's that much of a character. He's kind of an odd, you saw it. He's an odd dude.
He looks like he's very tightly wound in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exposed or expressed with his relationship with a new girlfriend
mm-hmm.
that he acquires apparently slightly before the shooting started and is with him throughout the movie. But they have a somewhat, at times, contentious relationship because she... quite understandably, can't understand why he wants to risk his life and why doesn't he take her or his family into consideration
right.
with this. Address that.
Well,
state of mind.
I'm continually drawn to this kind of character and this kind of enterprise, and I've been trying to figure out why, because it's totally pointless for him to risk his life in this way. There's no, people risk their lives being doctors in war zones. That makes some sense.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is like, there's no reason for him to do it. He could easily, if you fall, if you make one mistake doing this, you're dead, you're splat. So, I get her concern, but I also find it somehow honorable or heroic or something that what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to figure out why that is. And I think what I've come up with is that it's the closest comparison is like going to outer space, going to the moon. There's no point, except it expands the notion of what people are capable of doing, like what a human can do. And I think that's somehow kind of existentially useful for us, even though it's not actually helping anyone do anything in particular.
Yeah, but what if another person tries to emulate him and climbs up and falls down and dies?
Yeah, people have tried lots of times. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, since he can do it, we can all do it. It's more, I guess it's like food for imagination or something. It's a different level of accomplishment, I think, than like a sports thing usually is.
What do you think of the film's exploration of his mental, his brain functioning? Because at one point he goes into an MRI.
Right. And you see that he has, his amygdala is subactive or something like that. He can handle more. It takes a lot more to scare him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And more to stimulate him, too. So risking his life is about the only way that he can access certain emotional states.
Yeah, it makes him feel like the rest of us normally feel.
Yeah.
I don't know. Apparently he went into bouldering and solo climbing because it was easy. It was less scary than talking to other people.
Mm.
Oh, which interesting.
Makes sense when you see the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I really get that weird, strange not ache, but tingle in the spine when I'm watching it, because it's mm-hmm.
That was me just watching the preview, narrowing yeah. my eyes.
Yeah. I can barely look
right,
out.
Right now, I'm so uncomfortable just thinking about yeah. it.
I can barely look out a second story window, much less.
And I have rock climbed.
Oh.
I've rock climbed, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, describe rock climbing. How did you get into it?
My friend Maureen got me into it, who you know.
Mm-hmm.
It appeals to me because it's a combination of physical and mental puzzle solving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's different from most of the... It's a little bit like motorcycle riding for me, but it's not that dangerous, I think.
How long does it take to learn to do it, or does one never fully learn to do it?
I mean, every time I go, I feel like I've learned something new, but I've been doing it for probably about a year, a little over, and there are people who are so much better than me that I can't even imagine ever getting to that point, and mm-hmm. they have people that much better than them, so, yeah. you know, it's a... You would never... It's probably never going to get boring because you can always learn more.
It must concentrate the mind.
I think so. I mean, you don't think about... To me, it's very stress relieving because you don't... There's no, did I leave the oven on or anything? No. What should we have for dinner? Those questions are out the window. You're just like, oh, God. How do I not fall from between this one and that one?
Yeah, so, well, when Alex is climbing the face of a mountain...
Mm-hmm.
His mind must be extremely clear like that, too.
Just I would imagine,
focused
yeah.
on, but it's not like he just went there and did it once. He went up and down it many, many, many times, memorizing.
Yeah.
There's one fascinating moment where he's got a playbook
mm-hmm.
of where he writes down every single bit of protuberance that he has to hold on to or grab onto.
Mm-hmm.
The terrifying moment comes when there's this one spot where he has to, there's just no clear way. He has to practically leap from one little pebble thing to another.
That was Mona's favorite part.
Yeah. I can't even breathe.
And so the movie, its high point is having fallen so many times when he's got ropes on.
Right.
The people filming him from afar are wondering, is he going to be able to do it?
Yeah, and he's 3,000 feet in the air at this yeah. point. We should point out.
I think it took him only about 90 minutes to do the whole climb, though, right?
It was like 3 hours.
Three and a half hours.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the exhilaration on his face when he gets to the top is
yeah,
priceless.
But all he says is, I'm delighted. I'm just delighted. And then his girlfriend is like, okay, now you're done. Which everybody else in the audience is like, I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, what would be left after that?
Well, people keep asking him that, and I think he has a few ideas, but I you know.
Before we go to the next break, discuss a little bit the video that he made for GQ magazine.
Right. Yeah. There's a video of him assessing climbing scenes in other movies.
Yes.
Which if you can find it easily on YouTube, it's really it's worth watching. It's 10, 12 minutes long.
On the show notes, I'll put a link to it.
She's talking about Hollywood movies.
Yeah. Vertical Limit.
That must be entertaining.
Mission Impossible.
Cliffhanger is one. Does he do the Iger Sanction? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
But he goes through. But
there's a few of them where he's just like, he says what everybody thinks about rock climbing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just go around? Yeah. Just walk around that.
And he also does a Star Trek one, and which also takes place on Yosemite. And mm-hmm. he's saying, no, you wouldn't go. He's in phase A here, but he should be going to B. But mm-hmm. they're actually showing him at C.
Yeah. Looks like movies made in Portland. You're like, that's not where that bridge comes out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also his expertise. I mean, the lingo he uses mm-hmm. while he's describing these movies, it's like, it makes you realize that he has a friend in the movie that he talks very closely to, and that person, who's also famous...
Tommy Caldwell.
Yeah. He is the person that the girlfriend should be for him.
Yes.
Somebody he can talk to intimately about this stuff. But he can't, mm-hmm. and so they just speak in this code.
An even better movie, in my opinion, is The Dawn Wall, which is the Tommy Caldwell story.
Oh, okay.
And it's him and Kevin Jorgensen, and they're doing a similarly brand new first uh-huh. time ever feat. And there's this great scene in the middle of it where they're in the tent kind of deciding what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation, you can subtitle it. They say almost no actual words or sentences, but they've communicated this big moment of like brotherhood and commitment and stuff. It's amazing. It's
just, all right. Will Mona be able to watch The Dawn?
I think The Dawn Wall is still on Netflix. It was for a while.
No, but will she be able to watch
will she
it?
Be? good question. Probably.
No.
Okay. Probably
I'm
not.
I'm not even. You know what? No.
Okay. Well, it's
force her.
It's well Thank worth you. Seeing. I haven't seen the DVD, so I don't know what the extras are, but mm-hmm. it's got to be some outtakes and other footage. So anyway, just a reminder, Becky is here, and she brought two of her books, and please call in and try to get one of those things. The Walking Portland one is well worth it.
Well, those two books by Becky are right here in my hot little hands, and I'm looking at them. They're super nice-looking books. My name's Tave Fache-Drake, and I'm here with Ken Jones. And we are here for the KBOO.FM Spring Fund Drive. And you can call us at 877-500-5266. And for a recurring $5 a month donation, one of these can be yours as a thank you gift. These are nice books. Becky, one of them is even signed. I bet we could get the other one signed, too, if you want it. One is called The Walking Portland Book, and it has more than walking.
I was looking through that at the break. Yeah, it's beautifully designed. You're walking through neighborhoods, but Becky also tells you the sights there. There's churches, donut shops, bagel shops, hotels, bars, of course, because it's Portland bookstores, all the interesting sights in each of those neighborhood walks.
It's for $5 a month. That's really a bargain. And you can also be supporting community radio. You can be supporting all sorts of active people making a difference in the community, yourself included, when you call us at 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm.
And support programming like Film at 11, like Doug and Mona show. I loved when they were kind of giving a listing of all the climbing movies there. I think I've seen most of them. And I have seen Free Solo. I saw that about a few weeks ago, and that was absolutely incredible. Kind of, you're almost in his shoes, in Alex Honnold's shoes, when he's doing the climbing and hoping that you don't slip and fall thousands of feet to your death. If that's the kind of entertainment you like, you know, that's the movie for you.
Well, right. It's one of those things you're vicariously having an experience through somebody else, and that's a lot of times what movies do for us. And what we're doing here at KBOO, it's like one step further. We're letting you have that experience, and then you're also being able to talk about it with other people and listen to people talking about film and the other things that matter to you here at KBOO.FM 90.7 in Portland.
Yeah, Veterans Voices we had at 9, the film show now, Film at 11, and then Books and Literature we'll have from 11 to 12 with Between the Covers and David Naiman's interview with Lacey Johnson.
And we know that makes a difference to you. We know you want to make a difference. You care about what's going on in your community, and we're proud of Portland. We're proud of what we have here in Oregon and the Pacific Northwest. We're able to bring you programming that most other states and many other cities don't and can't do. And so this is essentially a free gift to you. The Best Things in Life Are Free, one of these other books by Becky. It's right here. The Best Things in Life Are Free. It's a hardback book. And, you know, we've been listening to them talk about Free Solo. Now we have the Best Things in Life Are Free book. For a $5 a month donation to KBOO Portland, you can go to kboo.fm or call us at 877-500-5266. Ken and I will be here. We'll hear your phone call come in, and we'll ring our bell for you.
And we have volunteers at the phones who will actually walk you through the process. It won't take more than a few minutes. If you become a sustaining member, so say $5 a month, that's $60 a year, and you want one of the books, Walking Portland and Becky's book, or The Best Things in Life Are Free, which is a Lonely Planet book about traveling the entire world, not just walking in Portland. You can have either of those gifts, 877-500-5266. They'll walk you through the process and set you up on credit card, debit card, EFT, electronic funds transfer from your checking account, whatever works best for you. And you can just kind of set it and forget it, and you're giving to a good cause, of course. You're supporting a good cause. We've been around since 1968, hope to be around another 50 years or more. KBOO.FM is our website. The number to call is 877-500-5266. And Tavi, this is the second to last day of the drive, so it's kind of time to get on the phone.
It's the time to do it. If you've been listening and you thought, well, maybe it's not the time now, or, oh, my dollar isn't going to matter, it does. I mean, Sonia, who's in there and engineering, I heard say earlier, the only gift that is too small is the one that you don't make, and I'm going to report that to you right now. It's true. We had somebody come in the other day on Tuesday and donate $1, and we had a homeless gentleman who, that's one of the things he does. Each time we have a drive, he comes in and gives, he donates his dollar to us. And so, I mean, that's someone who's coming from really tough times. And so I encourage all of us to think, what can we do that makes a difference in a dollar amount to keep this station going? What you're donating to here is just to keeping the lights on. You're keeping the electricity going. You're keeping our towers repaired. This is not going for high salaries or anything that happens at those commercial radio stations. You are making a difference. You are keeping the doors open. You are keeping the lights on. You are keeping free speech and entertainment happening for all of us in the Portland community and beyond by calling us at 877-500-5266. The number again is 877-500-5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm, kboo.fm, and donating. And there's also ways to do it through Twitter, Instagram, and all of that. And if you don't want to do a $5 recurring, you'd rather just do a $60 one time or any dollar amount one time, you can even walk right in here and give us cash. And we've had that happen before, too.
We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, about half block south of East Burnside, and we'd love to see you. We could show you the building. We can show you the studios. We can show you, if you're a member, where your money is going. And believe me, every single cent goes into what we do, our transmitter, all the equipment we have down here at the station, the trainings that we do, the website that we have for you, the phone apps, so you could listen anywhere you want to KBOO.FM, listen live, listen to archive programmings. It's just an incredible source of information, entertainment, and news, public affairs, music. We've got it all here on KBOO, and that's thanks to members like you. If you're not currently a member or it's time to renew your membership, this is the perfect time with one day to go in our spring membership drive. 877-500-5266, online kboo.fm. And now back to Film at 11.
Yes, welcome back, everybody. And we're here with Becky Olson, who we've just been talking about Free Solo. And Mona is about to tell us a little bit about Stanley Donen and Audrey Hepburn. But first, I just want to remind people that it's really easy to donate, make a pledge online. You go to the KBOO website, and right at the top, there's a link called Join Us. And you go to the page, basically the page that the people you call here will be looking at to fill in your choice of pledge and gift and address and credit card number. So it's really easy to do, and it walks you through it. It's a great way to do it because you can still keep listening to the show. But perhaps an interesting contrast with Free Solo is The Art of Dance. And one of the great directors of musicals is Stanley Donen, who is enjoying a brief retrospective at the Northwest Film Center.
And the three movies that are playing there are Singin' in the Rain, Charade, and Funny Face, all of which are masterpieces in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Three of my favorite movies, two of them starring, of course, the incomparable Audrey Hepburn. But Singin' in the Rain really needs to be called out. I think we live in an age when musicals are not... They're kind of having a resurgence, which is great. I'm not sure when that really started, but...
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Was it? Okay. I'm happy to lay it at the feet of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sure. I'm going to go with that. I don't know if anyone's been paying attention, but a couple of the television networks have been staging live musicals over the last few years, and they've... with varying success. Some are good, some are bad. What are you going to do? Singin' in the Rain is one, literally my favorite movie. And if you have never had the chance to see this movie on the big screen, you have the opportunity now at the Northwest Film Center, which we are so lucky to have here in Portland, to bring back these old movies and show them the way they really need to be seen.
And Charade has dream casting of Hepburn and Cary Grant.
You can say it's a pastiche of an Alfred Hitchcock movie, but it is by no means a lesser film
in any way.
It is absolutely charming. It has some of the most lovely scenes of Cary Grant in all of filmdom. Yeah.
And great music score from Henry Mancini. And also a brilliant screenplay by Peter Stone, who's one of those little recognized contributors to so many great movies.
It's witty. It's fun. It really keeps you guessing.
It does.
It does. It keeps you guessing. So
I remember the first time I saw it at the 104th Street Drive-In, Was completely captivated by it, but also completely fooled. I mean, great twists in it.
Great. And twists that don't leave you feeling cheated, which happens a lot with those movies. And then, of course, Funny Face.
And Funny Face is a parody of the fashion world based loosely on the life of Richard Avedon. Mm-hmm. And Audrey Hepburn plays a woman who is overwhelmed by a philosophy called empathism. It's a parody
of
a parody of existentialism, and there's some great dance scenes with beatnik-like characters in the cafe
with Kay Thompson, who most people know from the book Eloise, which the proper title is Kay Thompson's Eloise, and she wrote that. But most people know her from the child's book Eloise, but she's fantastic. She's a great hoofer, great singer.
Huh.
Yeah. It's she plays the magazine editor.
Mm.
Yeah.
So all three are worth catching up with if you haven't.
If you have seen them, go see them on the big screen. I beg you, because most people only get to see them on their TV now, and it's really you will be thankful you did that.
Yeah, Grant and Hepburn are people who need to be, two stories taller than you.
Well, and Singing in the Rain, you want to see those Sid Charisse legs.
I was
in
about
all
to mention
their
her
glory. Yeah, she's just stunning. So they're really spectacular movies. I can't recommend any of them more highly. Yeah.
So, do you think Alex can dance?
I mean, to me, it's a kind of a dance like endeavor. What he does, it's very choreographed. He uses the word choreographed in every hand move and every foot move. The footwork is really important, so it seems like you'd probably be a good dancer.
And one of the key things that he mentions is that the way you use your fingers can double your strength of gripping something.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So you're hanging off a tiny half inch ledge with, like, let's say your first three fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Then fold your thumb over the top of that, and then you've got, and it's a lot stronger. I can't do it because I'm not at that level yet. But,
it's highly choreographed. As I mentioned, he's got a playbook, a grip by grip account of what he's going to be doing, and he also has the focus to be able to do it, which means he has to exclude everything else, which is another problem that he has with his companion.
Mm-hmm.
Another movie that is also on Netflix is called The Silence.
Well, everything's coming out on Netflix now.
And they own the world, I guess. If they just buy up all the studios, then there'll just be that
one
thing.
They own the ending of the world, because here's another ending of the world. This stars Stanley Tucci and Kiernan Shipka, who is currently starring in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix, along with Miranda Otto, who plays one of her aunts in Sabrina, and John Corbett. And this is a movie, here's the log line. When the world is under attack from terrifying creatures who hunt their human prey by sound, 16-year-old Allie Andrews, who lost her hearing at 13, and her family seek refuge in a remote haven. Does that sound like anything anyone's heard?
Yeah. Quiet a second. Let me think.
Well, here's the thing about this movie, though. So let's not diss it too much. I mean, we can diss it when we talk about the actual movie, but let's not diss it too much. This was based on a book that was published in 2015 and began shooting in 2017, both before A Quiet Place was even released. So I think it's one of those things where maybe there's two robot movies at the same time and there's two, earthquake movies at the same time.
Volcano.
Yeah, things like that. I don't know. This, now A Quiet Place, I would characterize as being excellent in many ways. It has problems, which I'd be happy to discuss with both of you afterwards, it's incredible performances and just a really amazing, it's a really great premise for a movie. This is similar. It's a different kind of monster. These monsters don't come from outer space. They come from underground. Apparently they've been isolated for about a gajillion years.
They're bats, basically.
Kind of, yeah. They've evolved into something else, and they hunt by hearing. And I love me some Stanley Tucci all the time. I mean, I am too old for this, and yet I still want him to be my dad from the movie Easy A, right? You know, he's fantastic. So, but this movie, at least in this movie, I will say that the people behave in a way that feels like normal people might really behave. They're befuddled, they're confused, they're fearful, they're terrified, they're not masterminds of making gizmos and things like that. They're just trying to get along, but it's not good. The monsters are not good. It's too bad. And I'm not even comparing it. I'm not even saying it suffers in comparison to A Quiet Place.
It suffers in comparison to any movie where you know what's going to happen before it happens.
Yeah.
Every step of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
And it ends on kind of a Hunger Games note.
Yep.
But
which Stanley Tucci was also in.
It's well acted and well photographed as far as these things go, but it's just too predictable in my humble view.
Yeah, you can tell. They run into a weird guy at one point. They're out scavenging, being very quiet, of course. And they run into a kind of an odd character at some point. And it's not even foreshadowing. It is so clearly telegraphed that this guy is a complete and total whack bag.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no, absolutely no, yeah.
Well, there's
bad
something,
things are going to happen.
There's something that happens to that character that the character does to himself and his followers that is similar to... these things always seem to come in pairs. There's another tongue-cutting movie called An Affair to Die For, and in that case, it's a character... You don't know why it's done at first, but it's ghastly and not uncalled for, and it's ridiculous.
What about E.T. the Killer?
There you go. There's another... But these two movies have come out at the same time.
Right,
which is
you.
That crazy thing. So... But Tucci almost makes the movie worth.
I think you know it's always worth seeing Stanley Tucci. So if you're home, you're on Netflix, you can't figure out what to watch. There's some Stanley Tucci. Watch a little Stanley Tucci. It's really not. I don't blame the actors on this one because everyone does give a good performance. Uh-huh. It's just not great source material. Or I think the source material maybe would have been okay, but the monsters are not good. So and that's you have to have a good monster. Sorry, that's it.
Yeah, you have to be scared on behalf of the characters.
Yeah.
You don't see them too much, but when you do, it seems like it takes them an awful long time to figure out how to defeat the monsters.
Trigger warning, there is a dog in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't make it to the end. And I just, if you're a person like me who has a problem with that in films, yeah. So.
Yeah, our colleague Ed Goldberg had a similar problem with the movie, the Coen Brothers movie about the folk singer.
Oh, the Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
No, the earlier.
Oh, before that,
Inside Llewellyn Davis.
Oh, yeah, the cat.
Inside Llewellyn Davis. He was so upset with that cat scene that he practically walked out of the movie. He didn't, but he couldn't say much about it. After that, so we're just on the precipice of going back to our delightful pictures, and we'll be back a little bit later. But just a reminder that do please call if you make a particular donation, you'll be able to get our guests' Walking Portland book, and they're about to tell you how to do it.
Worth donating.
Oh, thanks, Doug and Mona. I'm Ken. I'm here with my partner, Tave, and this is our KBOO Spring Membership Drive. Actually, the second to last day of our Spring Membership Drive. So, if you've been listening to KBOO, you enjoy our programming, you want to support the radio station and our community and the different voices that KBOO helps amplify and give voice to in this community, give us a call now, become a member, or increase your membership at 877-500-5266. And Tavi, as Doug mentioned, their guest today, Becky Olson, has two books here.
That's right. One of them is Walking Portland. That's 33 tours of Stumptown's funky neighborhoods, historic landmarks, park trails, farmers markets, and brew pubs. And then the other one is the best things in life are free, as we all know, right? This is the Ultimate Money Savers Travel Guide. It's a thick hardback book with all sorts of venues throughout the world and free things you can do there.
There's two pages on Portland in there, in fact. But it's all over the world, and it's a Lonely Planet book. Becky is one of the 40 or 50 contributors to the book, but the Walking Portland book is all Becky, and just a perfect companion to any of us just walking around Portland, knowing the neighborhood, the different sites there. Or if you have visitors coming, it's a good book to give them to take a look at and pick out a few communities to walk through.
Exactly. And for a $5 sustaining membership per month or a one-time $60 donation, either of these books can be yours, or a book bag, which could double as a music bag, or a movie bag for that matter, and or a black beanie. So any of those gifts are your choice for one-time $60 donation or an increase of $5 a month for your already contribution that you're doing, or for new members who sign up for $5 a month. Any of these, Walking Portland, Best Things in Life are Free, book bag, or beanie, are yours as a thank you to you. And I know that this is something that would be of interest to you or one of your friends or loved ones. So call us at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Just as Bradford from Southwest Portland did, who called and renewed their membership. Thank you, Bradford.
Oh, thanks, Bradford. And again, spring membership drive time. We come to you a few times a year because our operating expenses, 80% of our operating expenses each year, come from you, the members. The good part about that is not that we're taking money out of your pockets, is that you're supporting independent media and community radio. And independent media is becoming somewhat endangered species, not just in Portland, but all over the country and perhaps the world. A lot of media conglomerates are buying up, I think the last I read, there were about four or five companies that owned majority of the media in the country. And of course, with that comes homogeneity. You're going to hear the same stuff over and over again. And some of those corporations might even have an agenda that they're pushing on those media outlets. So you're not getting the full story. You're not getting independent voices coming to you. But when you listen to KBOO, that's exactly what we do. But there's a cost to that, and our members kind of share that cost. 877-500-5266, the number to call to become a member, or online at kboo.fm. And you got shows like Marvin's show today, Veterans Voices, the Film at 11 show with Doug and Mona. We've got Between the Covers coming up at 11 o'clock, a show about books and the writers, the authors that come to Portland. We're kind of spoiled here with Powell's. We've got some of the greatest writers in the world that come to Portland on a regular basis when they have a book out. And a lot of them end up on the radio here at KBOO. And that's kind of the stuff that we do. That's just public affairs alone. There's also music. There's a comedy. There's political talk shows. There's activist voices. We have volunteer-produced news here. I can go on and on.
We have a youth collective as well. And for just one-time donation of $10 a month, anyone 18 and under can have a youth membership. You can also gift that membership. So if you're a parent, grandparent, neighbor, mentor, anyone who has work or private life that, you know, just involves youth of any kind, we would love to see you say, hey, we're really interested in having KBOO continue to produce this programming that's going to make a difference in youth's lives and is going to educate and entertain the future generation, not the way the corporations do, not the way that television does, but the way that your community does and the way that real news does. And so $10 a month is something that you can gift or get for yourself for those 18 and under. And you can call 877-500-5266. Walk on down in here if you want. Give us a $10 bill or a $10 check. Have a cup of coffee. Say hey. You could meet the person who is in charge of the youth collective, because we have...
Oh, she's wonderful. Erin Yankee, who's our program director. I've seen her in action with the youth that come in. And of course, people of that age, young people of that age, are peaking in terms of, not necessarily peaking, but there's an intensely high level of intelligence, curiosity, and hormones all combined, and Erin works beautifully with them. She trains them to do radio. working a mic, working a production studio, playing music, doing interviews, editing, audio editing, all that. The kids come in and they're trained, and then they produce their own programming, which we broadcast here on KABU. Who else does that kind of stuff?
Nobody.
That's what you're supporting when you give us a call. If you're not currently a member, you become a member by calling 877-500-5266.
Yeah, maybe you're a homeschool parent, and you know that's something that's another way of educating your youth. So give that a thought. And either way, you know, listen to us, listen to these wonderful programs on movies, and be part of our community. Call us, 877-500-5266. Any number, any dollar number counts, but $5 a month would get you one of these special books we're talking about. Thank you. Back to programming.
Okay, welcome back. And we're with Becky Olson, author of numerous travel books. Tell the good folks listening at home some of the other books that you've published.
I just this year I have Backpacking Oregon revision out, and Tent Camping in Oregon.
Jeez.
And my own little guide to Stockholm, Sweden, which is fun. And yeah. Walking Portland. I wanted to quickly say that when we were talking about Walking Portland, I talked about old Portland and that kind of. And to me, KABU is pretty much the soul of old Portland. So I'm really grateful that you guys brought me in today.
50 years. Mm-hmm. Few minutes left. We wanted to go through some of the DVDs that Criterion is issuing this month. They have Night on Earth and Stranger in Paradise, two movies by Jim Jarmusch, and Diamonds of the Night, a Polish film about the experience of two youth during World War II, and then Face in the Crowd, the Elie Kazan movie that serves as kind of a precursor. It's an excoriating view of mass media with Andy Griffith as a kind of a Trump avant la lettre, made released in 57, and it's got some great extras on it. And then finally, at the end of April, My Brilliant Career, the great Australian film based on the memoir of a woman who managed to live a dignified, liberated life at a time when it was not that easy. You've seen probably all of those.
Is that Judy Davis?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yep.
That's the movie that made her, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gillian Armstrong is the director, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. And so just another reminder that Portland is unique for having KABU because, as I said earlier, not all that many cities in the United States have truly community-funded radio stations like this. And it's part of what makes Portland unique and nationally, globally. So do think about it. If you call in, you'll be able to get one of Becky's books, and they're really worth it. And also another reminder that one of the things we talked about is Alex
Honnold
on GQ magazine's website, where they do a series of experts talking about films that they know more about than ordinary people. So I'm going to put a link to that on the show notes. It's hilarious and also really informative because he really knows his stuff.
He deconstructs climbing scenes from other movies. Yeah,
it's fantastic. He really knows what he's talking about. I love hearing people who really know their subject talking about it, even if I don't know I don't know the terminology, but you just got it's satisfying feeling inside that, and so many shows here at KABU are just like that. Mm-hmm. Experts really knowing what they're talking about. So another thing to think about. And Mona, are there any? There's one DVD that I think should be highlighted, and that is La Vérité, which is a Criterion release of the movie by Henri-Georges Clouzot, who did I'm fumbling over my French. Le Corbeau and Wages of Fear and others. And this one is probably Brigitte Bardot's best performance. It's a trial story with flashbacks that show her as a frivolous person who ends up on trial for murder. And it's her best performance and one of Clouzot's best films. And that was just released on Criterion last week. And then this week it's The Face in the Crowd.
Brigitte Bardot is such an icon of beauty and French style that we forget she actually was a really fantastic actress.
Yeah.
And if you're a young person, you wouldn't have had the opportunity to see her in film. You just know her image, but she's well worth watching. Yeah, captivating on screen.
Any final thoughts on Free Solo? How would one start free soloing? Where's a tiny mountain you can climb?
There are actually a lot right around town where you'd start bouldering.
And would Rooster Rock be a likely?
I wouldn't. But
oh, okay.
I would start shorter. I don't know.
How about a rock climbing gym? Maybe
you can start. Yeah, most people
teach you how to do.
Most people start in a rock gym, but there's a
a lot
of people.
A lot
just,
of those in Portland. So.
Uh-huh. What's the worst thing that can happen to you? Like scruffed hands or?
Yeah, I mean, I have calluses all the way up my fingers now, which I didn't. It's kind of cool. But
will those be good or bad for climbing? Because calluses.
Well, if they get too thick, I guess people peel them off if they get too thick. It also supposedly is a sign that you're holding on too tight.
Oh.
I don't know.
Interesting. Okay. And that's Free Solo, and it's also out on DVD, and Becky Olson is our guest, and she's the author of numerous books, but right now, the most recent one is Walking Portland, and it's, as our pitchers said, it's a well-designed book, it's pocket-sized, so you can't carry it.
User-friendly.
User-friendly, yes, indeed. So, yes, Mona and I thank you for being here and talking about thing, and well, up next is Between Covers. Did I get that title right? And it's great to be here with you, Becky. And I hope you'll be a guest the next time you write a book and climb a mountain.
Yeah,
okay.
This was fun.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Bridges is a restaurant and catering company that's open daily. More information available at bridgescafeandcatering.net. Lunch was provided by Bokeh Bowl, with two locations at 1028 South